If you're visiting us this morning, my name is Daniel. I'm one of the pastors here, and we've been making our way through Luke's gospel in a series called The Gospel for Everyone. And if you've been with us for a while, then you might be wondering why we've been in Luke for so long. And the answer is simple. We want to journey with Jesus through the entirety of his life, through the whole narrative of his life. Learning from and soaking in his ministry to be deeply formed by him in our lives. So we want to learn from Jesus. That's the simple answer. And secondly, when we teach through an entire book of the Bible, straight through, it commits us to teaching whatever the scripture says, rather than what might be more comfortable for us to hear or more comfortable for us to teach. So we believe there's integrity in preaching through an entire book of the Bible. So here we are in the Gospel according to Luke, where we're looking at another one of Jesus' parables today. And this one is called The Story of an Unjust Judge and a Persistent Widow. We'll see today how this story is really the story of all of us in the grand scheme of things. So listen now for God's word from Scripture. Luke 18, verses 1 to 8. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, "In a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.' For some time he refused. But finally he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I'll see that she gets justice so she won't eventually come and attack me.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" God's word. Let's pray together real quick. Gracious God, we are looking to you to still our minds and hearts, to bring our attention, Lord, to what you have to speak to all of us this morning. Be with us, Holy Spirit. Give our ears the ability to actually hear, our hearts the ability to actually believe, and our hands to act in line with what you give us, what we receive from you today. So thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. On September 21st, 1991, the Culinary Workers Union of Las Vegas went on strike. 550 employees at the Frontier Hotel walked out en masse, protesting against a reduction in their wages and in their ability to collectively bargain. The workers started a 24/7 strike line outside the hotel, demanding that management restore the agreement that they once had. But nobody could have predicted just how long they were going to be out there. The Frontier strike lasted 6 years, 4 months, and 10 days, from September 1991 to February 1998. And when it ended, hotel management restored the workers' jobs and honored their contracts. After a grueling 6.5 years, years marked by deaths in the union and by births to parents in the union, the hotel workers received the justice they persisted for. The strike had ended. "Grant me justice against my adversary," the widow says to the unjust judge for the 300th time before she's dismissed again, empty-handed. Anybody in the room know what it feels like to be dismissed? to fight long and hard for something right and to be denied? What's going on here? Jesus gives us a story that would have been a very well-known scenario in his day. Roman judges were known to be shady characters. This judge in particular, Jesus said, neither feared God nor cared what people thought, which in Jesus' day was considered to be the definition of wickedness. He was proud, defiant, and self-seeking. In this corrupt judicial system, you could bribe your way to a favorable ruling for yourself without regard to what true justice was. See, this was a judge who didn't care about doing his job, let alone doing right. If you were poor or socially marginalized, without the means or the connections to bribe the judge, you'd probably never get a fair hearing. It's hard to imagine anyone who would not be completely demoralized and deflated by a system so stacked against them. But here comes this widowed woman, the unlikeliest of all to be marching up to the judge demanding justice in her case. Why was she the unlikeliest? Widows were one of the most vulnerable groups in the patriarchal society of that time, since without connection to a husband or a male relative, they were without status, unprotected, and without representation. In fact, the judge may have refused her case over and over again, in part because she was representing herself. Despite all this, widowed women had a reputation for being prayerful, devout women, possibly even in response to the experience of this social instability. What was her case anyway? For what was she seeking justice? What was she after? We aren't entirely clear on that, but it's possible that her late husband's family was withholding material resources from her, to which she had a claim. Sometimes seeking justice means that you act in highly unusual, culturally inappropriate, and disruptive ways. For example, Susan B. Anthony voted in the 1872 election in this country, even though it was illegal for her to do so. But she was found guilty of breaking the law, of course. But her act of civil disobedience empowered the movement to keep pushing. She disrupted an unjust system. The widowed woman, with no means, no status, no protection, nobody in her corner, persists in what seems to any onlooker as a fool's errand, returning day after day to challenge the judicial, economic, and political systems that continually ignore her and deny her justice. Her behavior here is astounding. A person of such low social standing, after being denied once, might have turned away defeated. But the widowed woman never relents. She might not have money for a bribe, but she has 2 feet to get her to court and a voice to say, give me justice against my adversary. And so eventually, worn out by this woman's persistence, tireless persistence, the unjust judge grants her justice. Why is Jesus giving this parable? What's he trying to tell us? One thing we know Jesus is not trying to tell us is this. Keep pestering God in prayer and God will give you whatever you want. That's not what this passage is saying. What is Jesus actually saying? In order to answer that question, we need a little bit of context. We need some context. This parable comes on the heels of an intense conversation that Jesus had with his disciples and the Pharisees in chapter 17, just before this. The conversation was about how God's people will face injustice and hardship, between the time Jesus inaugurated the kingdom and when it comes in its fullness at the end of time, injustice and hardship in the interim. With this parable, Jesus is saying, look, the unjust forces of the world are going to traffic in injustice and oppression, and you're going to feel it. Jesus is addressing a major point of anxiety for his disciples, and maybe for us. Jesus is saying, look, the road ahead is rough. The time between my first coming and my second coming is going to be a long, painful time, and you're going to be tempted to throw in the towel and walk away. And he's saying, but hold fast, pray, act boldly, and don't give up. But man, that's easier said than done, right? How can he say this? Have you faced unjust situations in your life or in your family? Maybe you're facing discrimination in the workplace, and your boss doesn't do anything about it whenever you tell them. Maybe you were evicted unfairly, and your assembly member won't sit down for a meeting with you. Maybe you've been waiting for housing or services for years, but your name never seems to come up. Maybe you're struggling to make ends meet in an expensive city like Los Angeles, wondering how this system works for anybody. Maybe you face constant harassment just walking down the street, and it's exhausting and demoralizing. So, a little sidebar that needs to be said. Men, we need to practice seeing women and treating women with the respect they are owed as bearers of God's image and fellow siblings in Christ. If that's our struggle, we need to seek healing and accountability and prayer to persevere and to grow in genuine, respectful love. That's the path of discipleship. And we have a lot of support here among brothers here at New City. Let's be brave and seek the help we need. It's God's grace, after all, that helps us to do that. We don't have to fear. But maybe your situation isn't one of injustice, or at least not one of explicit injustice. Maybe you live in an uncertain and painful situation, and it's just hard to keep hope alive. Maybe you're trying hard to be a good parent, but your kids keep going down the wrong path and you feel responsible. Maybe you're trying hard to follow Jesus faithfully, but you live with constant temptations and unhelpful surroundings. Maybe you just can't find work no matter how hard you're trying. Maybe there's strife in your relationship and you two can't seem to resolve it. Whatever your situation, isn't it exhausting to keep showing up again and again? Isn't it painful to say and do the same things over and over again, trying to find justice or healing or hope? And in your lowest moments, maybe in panic or despair, have you lost hope for your situation? Or as you look around, you wonder, where could God be in all this? The widowed woman had every reason to throw in the towel and stay home. The forces that she dared to challenge could chew her up and spit her out, right? What motivated her persistent pursuit of justice despite the overwhelming and demoralizing presence of evil? Why didn't she give up? Why didn't she give up? Jesus tells us in verses 6 and 7. He says, if this judge, despite being really wicked, can grant justice, how much more should we expect God to bring about the real justice and deliverance we need. How much more? Jesus is saying that this widow's hope is the hope that all of God's people have to hold on to during this length of time between his first and second coming, between the kingdom's beginning and the kingdom's fulfillment, while suffering and injustice persist. The widow's hope is that God will bring final justice, that God will finally put all wrong things right, that God will finally uphold and defend the marginalized, the oppressed, the broken, and that God will hold to account those who perpetuate suffering. That's her hope, and that is the hope. So if that's coming in the future, I guess we can all just sit around and wait for it, right? No, that's not what that means. See, in the parable, it's the widowed woman's prayerful confidence that God will eventually triumph that motivates her to persist now. It isn't, oh, it's coming in the future, so let me just wait for it. It's, no, she realizes this, the ending of the story. And in light of that, she says, why can't I act now? Despite the uncertainty and fatigue that comes from repeatedly getting denied. When Jesus gave this parable, he was preparing his disciples to face the long winter that was coming before God's kingdom arrives in fullness. That period of time between his first and second coming. Today, it's been a long time since Jesus spoke these words to his disciples, right? And we await the kingdom now like they did then. Even the early Christian communities after Jesus' resurrection struggled with the fact that he had not yet returned to restore all things. Even they struggled with that. Jesus gives this parable to remind us to endure to the end, especially in light of this long winter, especially in light of this long winter before the kingdom's fullness. So, friends, how is your faith holding up? How's your faith holding up? It can be pretty hard to trust that God will do what God promised because it's just been so long. How can we be sure that God even cares to act anymore? How can we be sure that Jesus is still coming back? What grounds our hope? What grounds our hope? Well, when we look at Jesus' life, when we look at his life, we see a God who cared enough to become vulnerable and undergo injustice for us. When we look at Jesus' life, we see he was born to peasants, raised a working-class carpenter, became a poor traveling preacher, making his home among the marginalized, touching the sick, rebuking demonic powers, admonishing the wayward elite, forgiving sins. And what else? Well, ultimately, he was unjustly arrested without cause, the victim of a sham trial, and an unjust execution on a cross, though he'd committed no crimes. God has experienced injustice and suffering. Have you ever seen it that way? Scripture tells us that there was more happening on the cross than what meets the eye. In Jesus' death, God faced down the oppressive powers of evil and disarmed them, triumphing over them. As Scripture says in Colossians 2:15, says that through the cross, Jesus disarmed the powers and principalities, the forces of evil. And in that act of death and resurrection, Jesus liberated us from evil's oppressive stranglehold over our lives. And he ascended to the throne as the victor, as the true Lord of all. And God did that for you. God did that for you. God cared enough about our suffering and our sin to die to set us free and give us life. So how can we have confidence? How can we have confidence that God will act in the future? Because God has acted in the past. Because God has acted in the past, and what God started, God will bring to completion. God sent the enemy packing, and God will bring final victory once and for all when the kingdom comes. Amen? You know, in that way, God is like the widow. He will not relent to redeem the world in faithful love and merciful justice. But waiting is hard. Hoping is hard. Yet in the midst of that, Jesus says, hold on. Remember what I did. Remember what I'm coming to do. I'll never leave or forsake you. So in light of that, we'd be wise to look at the attitudes and habits of our lives and ask, have we given up a hope for how the story ends? If we look at our lives, are we acting in a way that says, I've actually given up hope for how the story ends? Have we become cynical, jaded, resigned, unbelieving, functionally throwing in the towel even though we come to church every Sunday? Because enduring is hard and it takes a disciplined faith, that's what Jesus is saying here. At the end of this passage, Jesus wonders if anyone will endure to the end. Will anyone endure to the end? He says, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? Will anyone have persevered like the widowed woman in prayerful, faithful action, remembering God's love in Christ and seasoned with the hope of God's coming justice? Will anyone like that remain? By God's grace, yes. And it's something that we have to choose to live in line with every day as well. So, church, here's the good news. God is faithful. You can dare to hope in him for the long haul. Take heart. Have hopeful prayers. Seek justice boldly, persistently, confidently in the meanwhile. Which is something you can do together here with your sisters and brothers at New City Church. In particular, by checking out the justice team and considering partnering in that hopeful work with us. In small group listening sessions, you all shared with us that you care about affecting issues like the environment and housing and education. Affecting those issues for justice. You've all named that. To fight for equity and healing in those systems and for the people affected by those systems. So we may not have money to throw at these issues, but together we have our feet to bring us there and our voice to say, grant us justice. You can talk to Jenny or to me after the service to explore that more if you're interested. So, press into this community. It's a work that we do together to encourage each other, to support each other, to seek what's right with each other. And together we look for the day when all things are renewed. Why? Because we know how the story ends. We know how the story ends. Amen? Would you pray with me? God, we give you glory, we give you thanks, we give you honor. Thank you that you have begun a work that you promised to bring to fullness, to bring to completion, not only in ourselves, but also in the world and for the world. God, you are renewing us and redeeming us in all of those dark places of our heart, and we remember that this morning as we approach Lent. But God, you are also at work, redeeming the dark places, the dark corners of our world. And you invite us into that. And you invite us into that with you. So we ask for courage. We ask for faith. Help us to endure. God, it's hard. Help us to endure things that we face personally and systemically, Lord. Feels like too much often. God, you say you're with us. Grant us justice. Grant us hope. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Amen.